Chapter 2. Operational Art. This chapter discusses the application and elements of operational art. It also discusses defeat and stability mechanisms. The application of operational art. Operational art is the cognitive approach by commanders and staffs, supported by their skill, knowledge, experience, creativity, and judgment, to develop strategies, campaigns, and operations to organize and employ military forces by integrating ends, ways, and means. JP 3.0. It is the essence of applying skill, experience, and judgment when exercising military command at the operational level of warfare, and serves two main functions: to ensure that military actions are aligned with and directly support strategy, to ensure that tactical actions occur under the most advantageous conditions possible. Commanders and their staffs apply operational art throughout all phases of the operations process. Army commanders use operational art, the principles of joint operations, and the elements of operational art to envision how to establish conditions that accomplish their missions and objectives. For Army forces, operational art is the pursuit of strategic objectives in whole or in part through the arrangement of tactical actions in time, space, and purpose. Operational art applies to all types and aspects of operations. The 12 principles of joint operations represent important factors that affect the conduct of operations across the levels of warfare. The principles are broadly applied considerations, and their relevance varies in each situation. They are not a checklist. Commanders generally consider all 12 principles, but they may not apply them in the same way in every operation. The principles summarize the characteristics of successful operations throughout history. Their greatest value lies in educating military professionals. While considering the principles of joint operations, commanders determine if or when to deviate from the principles based on the current situation. See JP 3.0 for a detailed discussion on the principles of joint operations. The principles of joint operations are: objective, direct every military operation toward a clearly defined, decisive, and achievable goal. Offensive, seize, retain, and exploit the initiative. Mass, concentrate the effects of combat power at the most advantageous place and time to produce decisive results. Maneuver, place the enemy in a position of disadvantage through the flexible application of combat power. Economy of force, expend minimum essential combat power on secondary efforts to allocate the maximum possible combat power on primary efforts. Unity of command, ensure unity of effort under one responsible commander for every objective. Security, prevent the enemy from acquiring an unexpected advantage. Surprise, strike at any time or place or in a manner for which the enemy is unprepared. Simplicity, increase the probability that plans and operations will be executed as intended by preparing clear, uncomplicated plans and concise mission orders. Restraint, limit collateral damage and prevent the unnecessary use of force. Perseverance, ensure the commitment necessary to attain the national strategic end state. Legitimacy, maintain legal and moral authority in the conduct of operations. When applying operational art, commanders and staffs ensure a shared understanding of purpose. This requires open, continuous collaboration between commanders at various echelons to define accurately the problems and conditions of an operational environment. Effective collaboration facilitates assessment, fosters critical analysis, and anticipates opportunities and risk. Operational art encompasses all levels, from strategic direction to tactical actions. It requires creative vision, broad experience, and a knowledge of capabilities, tactics, and techniques across multiple domains. It is through operational art that commanders translate their operational approach into a concept of operations. A concept of operations is a verbal or graphic statement that clearly and concisely expresses what the commander intends to accomplish and how it will be done using available resources, JP50. Commanders then position and maneuver forces to perform tasks that best achieve a desired end state. The successful application of operational art relies heavily on the science of operations. Considerations such as movement times, capability ranges, loiter times, consumption rates, available supplies, combat power status, and electromagnetic spectrum management determine whether an operational approach is feasible or not. Many operational approaches prove unhelpful for driving detailed planning because they fail to consider operational realities. The earlier details are integrated into conceptual planning, the better. During planning, commanders and their staffs use the Army design methodology to develop an operational approach that informs detailed planning. The Army design methodology is a methodology for applying critical and creative thinking to understand, visualize, and describe unfamiliar problems and approaches to solving them. ADP50. By applying the Army design methodology, commanders and staffs gain a shared understanding of the environment, and they can define the problems preventing the desired end state. This differs from mission analysis, since it is not mission-specific. These items enable commanders and staffs using Army design methodology, the principles of joint operations and principles of war, the tenets of unified land operations, the elements of operational art, the defeat mechanisms, the stability mechanisms. Army design methodology results in an operational approach, a broad description of the mission, operational concepts, tasks, and actions required to accomplish the mission, JP50. A good operational approach provides the basis for detailed planning, allows leaders to establish a logical operational framework, and helps produce an executable order. As detailed planning yields new information, leaders reassess their operational approach, and the Army design methodology that informed it, and adjust it accordingly to ensure relevancy. These actions continue throughout preparation and execution, and they inform commanders' decision-making. When assessing operations, the logic of the operational approach provides the basis for developing assessment criteria, including measures of performance and effectiveness. See ADP50 for more information on assessments. The understanding developed with the Army design methodology enables commanders to develop an operational approach that establishes conditions to accomplish the mission. The operational approach provides a framework that relates tactical tasks to the desired end state. It provides a unifying purpose and focus to all operations. Defeat and stability mechanisms. Defeat is to render a force incapable of achieving its objectives. Defeat has a temporal component and is seldom permanent. When developing an operational approach, commanders consider methods to employ a combination of defeat mechanisms and stability mechanisms. Defeat mechanisms relate to offensive and defensive operations. Stability mechanisms relate to stability operations, security, and consolidating gains in an area of operations. A defeat mechanism is a method through which friendly forces accomplish their mission against enemy opposition. Army forces at all echelons use combinations of four defeat mechanisms: destroy, dislocate, disintegrate, and isolate. Applying more than one defeat mechanism simultaneously produces complementary and reinforcing effects not attainable with a single mechanism. Used individually, a defeat mechanism achieves results relative to how much effort is expended. Using defeat mechanisms in combination creates enemy dilemmas that magnify their effects significantly. When commanders destroy, they apply lethal combat power on an enemy capability so that it can no longer perform any function. Destroy is a tactical mission task that physically renders an enemy force combat ineffective until it is reconstituted. Alternatively, to destroy a combat system is to damage it so badly that it cannot perform any function or be restored to a usable condition without being entirely rebuilt. FM 390-1. An enemy cannot restore a destroyed force to a usable condition without entirely rebuilding it. Dislocate is to employ forces to obtain significant positional advantage, rendering the enemy's dispositions less valuable, perhaps even irrelevant. Commanders often achieve dislocation by placing forces in locations where the enemy does not expect them. Disintegrate means to disrupt the enemy's command and control system, degrading its ability to conduct operations while leading to a rapid collapse of the enemy's capabilities or will to fight. Commanders often achieve disintegration by specifically targeting an enemy's command structure and communication systems. Isolate means to separate a force from its sources of support in order to reduce its effectiveness and increase its vulnerability to defeat. Isolation can encompass multiple domains and can have both physical and psychological effects detrimental to accomplishing a mission. Isolating a force in the electromagnetic spectrum exacerbates the effects of physical isolation by reducing its situational awareness. The ability of an isolated unit to perform its intended mission generally degrades over time, decreasing its ability to interfere with an opposing force's course of action. When commanders isolate, they deny an enemy or adversary access to capabilities that enable an enemy unit to maneuver at will in time and space. Commanders describe defeat mechanisms by the three types of effects they produce. Physical effects are those things that are material. Temporal effects are those that occur at a specific point in time. Cognitive effects, those that pertain to or affect the mind. Operational art formulates the most effective, efficient way to apply defeat mechanisms. Physically defeating an enemy deprives enemy forces of the ability to achieve those aims. Temporarily defeating an enemy anticipates enemy reactions and counters them before they can become effective. Cognitively defeating an enemy disrupts decision-making and deprives that enemy of the will to fight. In addition to defeating an enemy, Army forces often seek to stabilize an area of operations by performing stability tasks. Stability tasks are tasks conducted as part of operations outside the United States, in coordination with other instruments of national power, to maintain or reestablish a safe and secure environment and provide essential governmental services, emergency infrastructure reconstruction, and humanitarian relief. See ADP-3O for more information on stability. There are six primary stability tasks. Establish civil security. Establish civil control. Restore essential services. Support governance. Support economic and infrastructure development. Conduct security cooperation. The combination of stability tasks performed during operations depends on the situation. In some operations, the host nation can meet most or all of the population's requirements. In those cases, Army forces work with and through host nation authorities. Commanders use civil affairs operations to mitigate how the military presence affects the population and vice versa. Conversely, Army forces operating in a failed state may need to support the local population and work with civilian organizations to restore capabilities. Civil affairs operations are essential in establishing the trust between Army forces and civilian organizations required for effective working relationships. A stability mechanism is the primary method through which friendly forces affect civilians in order to attain conditions that support establishing a lasting, stable peace. As with defeat mechanisms, combinations of stability mechanisms produce complementary and reinforcing effects that accomplish the mission more effectively and efficiently than single mechanisms do alone. The four stability mechanisms are compel, control, influence, and support. Compel means to use or threaten to use lethal force to establish control and dominance, affect behavioral change, or enforce compliance with mandates, agreements, or civil authority. Control involves imposing civil order. Influence means to alter the opinions, attitudes, and ultimately the behavior of foreign-friendly, neutral, adversary, and enemy audiences through messages, presence, and actions. Support establishes, reinforces, or sets the conditions necessary for the instruments of national power to function effectively. The elements of operational art. In applying operational art, Army commanders and their staffs use intellectual tools to help understand an operational environment and visualize and describe their approach to conducting an operation. Collectively, these tools are the elements of operational art. They help commanders understand, visualize, and describe the integration and synchronization of the elements of combat power and their commander's intent and guidance. Commanders selectively use these tools in any operation. Their broadest application applies to long-term operations. Not all elements of operational art apply at all levels of warfare. A company commander concerned about the tempo of an upcoming operation is probably not concerned with an enemy's center of gravity. A corps commander may consider all elements of operational art in developing a plan to support the JFC. As such, the elements of operational art are flexible enough to apply when pertinent. As some elements of operational design apply only to JFCs, the Army modifies the elements of operational design into elements of operational art by adding Army-specific elements. During the planning and execution of Army operations, commanders and staffs consider the elements of operational art as they assess the situation. They adjust current and future operations and plans as the operation unfolds, and they reframe as necessary. Operational art consists of the following elements: end state and conditions, center of gravity, decisive points, lines of operations and lines of effort, tempo, phasing and transitions, culmination, operational reach, basing, risk. End state and conditions. The end state is a set of desired future conditions the commander wants to exist when an operation ends. Commanders include the end state in their planning guidance. A clearly defined end state promotes unity of effort, facilitates integration, synchronization, and disciplined initiative, and helps mitigate risk. Army operations typically focus on achieving the military end state that may include contributions to establishing non-military conditions. Commanders explicitly describe the end state and its conditions for every operation. Otherwise, missions lack purpose and operations lose focus. Successful commanders direct every operation toward a clearly defined, conclusive, and attainable end state, the objective. Most military operations require Army forces to consolidate gains to achieve a desired political end state, the exception being a punitive expedition. An end state may evolve as an operation progresses. Commanders continuously monitor operations and evaluate their progress. They evaluate the validity of assumptions and running estimates. Commanders use formal and informal assessment methods to assess their progress in achieving an end state and determine if they need to reframe. An end state should anticipate future operations and set conditions for transitions. Center of gravity. A center of gravity is the source of power that provides moral or physical strength, freedom of action, or will to act, JP-50. The loss of a center of gravity can ultimately result in defeat. A center of gravity is an analytical tool for planning operations. It provides a focal point and identifies sources of strength and weakness. However, the concept of center of gravity is only meaningful when considered in relation to the objectives of the mission. Because most enemies represent adaptive, complex systems, they are likely to have multiple centers of gravity. Destroying or capturing one is unlikely to win a campaign or resolve most conflicts. Centers of gravity are not limited to military forces, and they can be physical, moral, and virtual. They are part of a dynamic perspective of an operational environment, and they may change as an environment changes. Physical centers of gravity, such as a capital city or military force, are tangible and typically easier to identify, assess, and account for than moral centers of gravity. Physical centers of gravity can often be influenced solely by military means. In contrast, moral centers of gravity are intangible and more difficult to influence. They can include a charismatic leader, powerful ruling elite, or united population. Military means alone usually prove ineffective when targeting moral centers of gravity. Affecting them requires collective, integrated efforts of all instruments of national power. Likewise, a virtual center of gravity may provide the ability to maintain unity of purpose for a disaggregated or decentralized enemy which does not require mutual physical support to accomplish objectives and is not geographically bound. Virtual centers of gravity are usually associated with violent extremist ideologies and organizations, non-nation-state actors, or super-empowered individuals, although nation-states could also have them. A center of gravity has subcomponents comprising a system, such as command and control or logistics, which can be targeted for information collection and attack. This targeting can identify critical vulnerabilities in the system, such as communications or enemy morale, against which commanders can apply friendly capabilities. Commanders analyze a center of gravity thoroughly and in detail. Faulty conclusions drawn from hasty or abbreviated analyses can adversely affect operations, waste critical resources, and incur undue risk. Thoroughly understanding an operational environment helps commanders identify and target enemy centers of gravity. This understanding encompasses how enemies organize, fight, and make decisions. It includes their physical and moral strengths and weaknesses. This understanding helps planners identify centers of gravity, their associated decisive points, and the best approach for achieving the desired end state. Decisive points. A decisive point is a geographic place, specific key event, critical factor, or function that, when acted upon, allows commanders to gain a marked advantage over an enemy or contribute materially to achieving success. JP50. Decisive points help commanders select clear, conclusive, attainable objectives that directly contribute to achieving an end state. Geographic decisive points can include port facilities, distribution networks and nodes, and bases of operation. Specific events and elements of an enemy force can be decisive points. Examples of such events include commitment of the enemy operational reserve and reopening of a major oil refinery. Space and cyberspace-enabled capabilities may also represent decisive points. A common characteristic of decisive points is their importance to centers of gravity. Decisive points are not centers of gravity. They are key to attacking or protecting centers of gravity, and they comprise parts of its system. A decisive point's importance requires an enemy force to commit significant resources to defend it. The loss of a decisive point weakens a center of gravity, and it may expose more decisive points. Identifying and attacking more decisive points can eventually lead to an attack on the center of gravity itself. Commanders identify the decisive points that offer the greatest physical, temporal, or psychological advantage against centers of gravity. Decisive points apply to both the operational and tactical levels when shaping the concept of operations. Decisive points enable commanders to seize, retain, or exploit operational initiative. Controlling them is essential to mission accomplishment. Enemy control of a decisive point may stall friendly momentum, force early culmination, or allow an enemy counterattack. Lines of operations and lines of effort. Lines of operations and lines of effort link objectives to the end state physically and conceptually. Commanders may describe an operation along lines of operations, lines of effort, or a combination of both. The combination of them may change based on the conditions within an area of operations. Commanders synchronize and sequence actions, deliberately creating complementary and reinforcing effects. The lines then converge on the well-defined, commonly understood end state outlined in the commander's intent. Commanders at all levels may use lines of operations and lines of effort to develop tasks and allocate resources. Commanders may designate one line as the decisive operation and others as shaping operations. Commanders synchronize and sequence related actions along multiple lines. Seeing these relationships helps commanders assess progress toward achieving the end state as forces perform tasks and accomplish missions. Lines of operations. A line of operations is a line that defines the directional orientation of a force in time and space in relation to the enemy and links the force with its base of operations and objectives. Lines of operations connect a series of decisive points that lead to control of a geographic or force-oriented objective. Operations designed using lines of operations generally consist of a series of actions executed according to a well-defined sequence. A force operates on interior and exterior lines. Interior lines are lines on which a force operates when its operations diverge from a central point. Interior lines allow commanders to move quickly against enemy forces along shorter lines of operation. Exterior lines are lines on which a force operates when its operations converge on the enemy. Exterior lines allow commanders to concentrate forces against multiple positions on the ground, thus presenting multiple dilemmas to the enemy. Lines of operations tie offensive and defensive operations to the geographic and positional references in the area of operations. Lines of effort. A line of effort is a line that links multiple tasks using the logic of purpose rather than geographical reference to focus efforts toward establishing a desired end state. Lines of effort are essential to long-term planning when positional references to an enemy or adversary have little relevance. In operations involving many non-military factors, lines of effort may be the only way to link tasks to the end state. Lines of effort are often essential to helping commanders visualize how military capabilities can support the other instruments of national power. Commanders use lines of effort to describe their vision of operations to achieve end state conditions. These lines of effort show how individual actions relate to each other and to achieving the end state. Commanders often use stability and DISCA tasks along lines of effort. These tasks link military actions with the broader interagency or interorganizational effort across the levels of warfare. As operations progress, commanders may modify the lines of effort after assessing conditions. Commanders use measures of performance and measures of effectiveness to continually assess operations. A measure of performance is an indicator used to measure a friendly action that is tied to measuring task accomplishment, JP50. A measure of effectiveness is an indicator used to measure a current system state, with change indicated by comparing multiple observations over time, JP50. Combining lines of operations and lines of effort. Commanders use lines of operations and lines of effort to connect objectives to a central, unifying purpose. The difference between lines of operations and lines of effort is that lines of operations are oriented on physical linkages, while lines of effort are oriented on logical linkages. Combining lines of operations and lines of effort allows a commander to include stability or DISCA tasks in the long-term plan. This combination helps commanders begin consolidating gains and set the end state conditions for transitions in an operation. Tempo. Tempo is the relative speed and rhythm of military operations over time with respect to the enemy. It reflects the rate of military action. Controlling tempo helps commanders keep operational initiative during combat operations or rapidly establish a sense of normalcy during humanitarian crises. During combat operations, commanders normally seek to maintain a higher tempo than enemy forces do. A rapid tempo can overwhelm an enemy force's ability to counter friendly actions. During other operations, commanders act quickly to control events and deny enemy forces positions of advantage. By acting faster than the situation deteriorates, commanders can change the dynamics of a crisis and restore favorable conditions. Commanders control tempo throughout the conduct of operations. First, they formulate operations that exploit the complementary and reinforcing effects of simultaneous and sequential operations. They synchronize those operations in time and space to degrade enemy capabilities throughout the area of operations. Second, commanders avoid unnecessary engagements. They do this by bypassing resistance and avoiding places not considered decisive. Third, through mission command, commanders enable subordinates to exercise initiative and act independently. Controlling tempo requires both audacity and patience. Audacity initiates the actions needed to develop a situation. Patience allows a situation to develop until the force can strike at the most crucial time and place. Ultimately, the goal is maintaining a tempo appropriate to retaining and exploiting the initiative and achieving the end state. Army forces expend more energy and resources when operating at a high tempo. Commanders assess their forces' capacity to operate at a higher tempo based on its performance and available resources. An effective operational design varies tempo throughout an operation to increase endurance while maintaining appropriate speed and momentum. There is more to tempo than speed. While speed can be important, commanders vary speed to achieve endurance and optimize operational reach. When considering tempo, it is critical to consider the risks associated with the requirement to consolidate gains. When forces consolidate gains throughout an operation, a commander may accept the risk of slower tempo in the near term to ensure the enemy is unable to protract the conflict with bypassed or irregular forces that avoid decisive engagement with friendly forces. There may be circumstances when a commander accepts risk by deciding to consolidate gains in a later phase during operations because of a need to conduct operations at a higher tempo initially. Regardless of where the commander accepts risk associated with tempo, the requirement to consolidate gains is inherent to almost all operations on land. Phasing and transitions. A phase is a planning and execution tool used to divide an operation in duration or activity. A change in phase usually involves a change of mission, task organization, or rules of engagement. Phasing helps in planning and controlling, and it may be indicated by time, distance, terrain, or an event. The ability of Army forces to extend operations in time and space, coupled with a desire to dictate tempo, often presents commanders with more objectives and decisive points than the force can engage simultaneously. This may require commanders and staffs to consider sequencing operations. Phasing is critical to arranging all tasks of an operation that cannot be performed simultaneously. It describes how the commander envisions the overall operation unfolding. It is the logical expression of the commander's visualization in time. Within a phase, a large portion of the force executes similar or mutually supporting activities. Achieving a specified condition or set of conditions typically marks the end of a phase. Simultaneity, depth, and tempo are vital to all operations. However, forces cannot always attain them to the degree desired. In such cases, commanders limit the number of objectives and decisive points engaged simultaneously. They deliberately sequence certain actions to maintain tempo while focusing combat power at a decisive point in time and space. Commanders employ a combination of simultaneous and sequential tasks at multiple echelons to establish end-state conditions during an operation. Phasing can extend operational reach. When a force lacks the capability to accomplish its mission in a single action, commanders phase the operation. Each phase should strive to focus effort, concentrate combat power in time and space at a decisive point, accomplish its objectives deliberately and logically. Transitions mark a change of focus between phases or between the ongoing operation and execution of a branch or sequel. Shifting priorities among offensive, defensive, stability, and DISCA tasks also involve transitions. Transitions require planning and preparation well before their execution, so the force can maintain the momentum and tempo of operations. The force is vulnerable during transitions, and commanders establish clear conditions for their execution. A transition occurs for several reasons. Transitions occur when delivering essential services, retaining infrastructure needed for reconstruction, or when consolidating gains. An unexpected change in conditions may require commanders to direct an abrupt transition between phases. In such cases, the overall composition of the force remains unchanged despite sudden changes in mission, task organization, and rules of engagement. Typically, task organization evolves to meet changing conditions. However, transition planning must also account for changes in mission. Commanders continuously assess the situation, and they task organize and cycle their forces to retain operational initiative. Commanders strive to achieve changes in emphasis without incurring an operational pause. Commanders identify potential transitions during planning and account for them throughout execution. Considerations for identifying potential transitions should include forecasting in advance when and how to transition, arranging tasks to facilitate transitions, creating a task organization that anticipates transitions, rehearsing certain transitions, such as from defense to counterattack or from offense to consolidating gains, ensuring the force understands the different rules of engagement during transitions. Commanders should appreciate the time required to both plan for and execute transitions. Assessment ensures that commanders measure progress towards such transitions and take appropriate actions to prepare for and execute them. Culmination. The culminating point is a point at which a force no longer has the capability to continue its form of operations, offense or defense, JP50. Culmination represents a crucial shift in relative combat power. It is relevant to both attackers and defenders at each level of warfare. While conducting offensive operations, the culminating point occurs when a force cannot continue the attack and must assume a defensive posture or execute an operational pause. While conducting a defense, it occurs when a force can no longer defend itself and must withdraw or risk destruction. The culminating point is more difficult to identify when Army forces perform stability tasks. Two conditions can result in culmination while performing stability tasks: units being too dispersed to achieve security and units lacking required resources to achieve the end state. While performing DISCA tasks, culmination may occur if forces must respond to more catastrophic events than they can manage simultaneously. Such a situation results in culmination due to exhaustion. A culmination may be a planned event. In such cases, the concept of operations predicts which part of a force will culminate, and the task organization includes additional forces to assume the mission after culmination. Typically, culmination is caused by direct combat actions or higher echelon resourcing decisions. Culmination relates to the force's ability to generate and apply combat power, and it is not a lasting condition. To continue operations after culminating, commanders may reinforce or reconstitute tactical units. Operational reach. Operational reach reflects the ability to achieve success through a well-conceived operational approach, and it is applicable to Army forces operating as part of the joint force. operational reach is a tether. It is a function of intelligence, protection, sustainment, endurance, and combat power relative to enemy forces. The limit of a unit's operational reach is its culminating point. Operational reach balances the natural tension among endurance, momentum, and protection. Commanders seek to extend the operational reach far enough to accomplish their objectives before culmination. Endurance refers to the ability to employ combat power anywhere for protracted periods. It stems from the ability to organize, protect, and sustain a force regardless of the distance from its base and the austerity of the environment. Endurance involves anticipating requirements and making the most effective and efficient uses of resources. Endurance contributes to Army forces' ability to achieve decisive outcomes over time. Momentum comes from retaining operational initiative and executing high-tempo operations that overwhelm enemy resistance. Commanders control momentum by maintaining focus and pressure. They set a tempo that prevents exhaustion and maintains adequate sustainment. A sustainable tempo extends operational reach. Commanders maintain momentum by anticipating and transitioning rapidly between any combination of offensive, defensive, stability, or DISCA tasks. Momentum prevents an enemy from recovering the initiative. Sometimes, commanders push the force to its culminating point to take maximum advantage of an opportunity. Exploitations and pursuits often involve pushing all available forces to the limit of their endurance to capitalize on momentum and retain the initiative. Protection is an important contributor to operational reach. Commanders anticipate how enemy actions and environmental factors might disrupt operations and then determine the protection capabilities required to maintain sufficient reach. Protection closely relates to endurance and momentum. It also contributes to the commander's ability to extend operations in time and space. The protection warfighting function helps commanders maintain their forces' integrity and combat power. Commanders and staffs consider operational reach to ensure Army forces accomplish their missions before culminating. Commanders continually strive to extend operational reach. They assess friendly and enemy force status and civil considerations, anticipate culmination, consolidate gains, and plan operational pauses if necessary. The use of basing can sustain operational reach in time and space. Basing. Army basing overseas typically falls into two general categories: permanent, bases or installations, and non-permanent, base camps. A base is a locality from which operations are projected or supported, JP4O. Generally, bases are in host nations in which the United States has a long-term lease and a status of forces agreement. A base camp is an evolving military facility that supports the military operations of a deployed unit and provides the necessary support and services for sustained operations. ATP 3-37.10. Base camps are non-permanent by design and designated as bases when the intention is to make them permanent. Bases or base camps may have a specific purpose, such as serving as an intermediate staging base, a logistics base, or a base camp, or they may be multifunctional. The longer base camps exist, the more they exhibit many of the same characteristics as bases in terms of the support and services provided and types of facilities developed. A base or base camp has a defined perimeter, has established access controls, and takes advantage of natural and man-made features. Basing may be joint or single service and will routinely support both U.S. and multinational forces, as well as interagency partners, operating anywhere along the range of military operations. Commanders often designate an area as a base or base camp and assign responsibility to a single commander for protection and terrain management within the base. Within large echelon support areas or joint security areas, controlling commanders may designate base clusters for mutual protection and to exercise command and control. See JP40 for more information on joint logistics and basing, and JP3-10 for more on joint security areas. When a base camp expands to include clusters of sustainment, headquarters, and other supporting units, its commander may designate it a support area. These areas of operations facilitate the positioning, employment, and protection of resources required to sustain, enable, and control tactical operations. Army forces typically rely on a mix of bases and base camps to serve as intermediate staging bases, lodgements, subsequently developed into base camps or potentially bases, and forward operating bases. These bases and base camps deploy and employ land power simultaneously to operational depth. They establish and maintain strategic reach for deploying forces and ensure sufficient operational reach to extend operations in time and space. An intermediate staging base is a tailorable, temporary location used for staging forces, sustainment, and/or extraction into and out of an operational area, JP3-35. At an intermediate staging base, units are unloaded from inter-theater lift, reassembled, and integrated with their equipment, and then moved by inter-theater lift into the area of operations. The Theater Army Commander provides extensive support to Army forces transiting the base. The Combatant Commander may designate the Theater Army Commander to command the base or provide a headquarters suitable for the task. Intermediate staging bases are established near, but normally not in, the Joint Operations Area. They often are located in the supported combatant commander's area of responsibility. For land forces, intermediate staging bases may be located in the area of operations. However, if possible, they are established outside the range of direct and most indirect enemy fire systems and beyond the enemy's political sphere of influence. A base camp that expands to include an airfield may become a forward operating base. A forward operating base is an airfield used to support tactical operations without establishing full support facilities, JP309.3. Forward operating bases may be used for an extended time and are often critical to security. During protracted operations, they may be further expanded and improved to establish a more permanent presence. The scale and complexity of a forward operating base, however, directly relate to the size of the force required to maintain it. A large forward operating base with extensive facilities requires a much larger security force than a smaller, austere base. Commanders weigh whether to expand and improve a forward operating base against the type and number of forces available to secure it, the expected length of the forward deployment, the force's sustainment requirements, and the enemy threat. A lodgement is a designated area in a hostile or potentially hostile operational area that, when seized and held, makes the continuous landing of troops and materiel possible and provides maneuver space for subsequent operations. JP3-18. Identifying and preparing the initial lodgement significantly influences the conduct of an operation. Lodgements should expand to allow easy access to strategic sea lift and airlift, offer adequate space for storage, facilitate transshipment of supplies and equipment, and be accessible to multiple lines of communications. Typically, deploying forces establish lodgements near key points of entry in the operational area that offer central access to air, land, and sea transportation hubs. Risk. Risk is the probability and severity of loss linked to hazards. Risk, uncertainty, and chance are inherent in all military operations. When commanders accept risk, they create opportunities to seize, retain, and exploit operational initiative and achieve decisive results. The willingness to incur risk is often the key to exposing enemy weaknesses that an enemy considers beyond friendly reach. Understanding risk requires accurate running estimates and valid assumptions. Embracing risk as opportunity requires situational awareness and imagination, as well as audacity. Successful commanders assess and mitigate risk continuously throughout the operations process. inadequate planning and preparation puts forces at risk, as does delaying action while waiting for perfect intelligence and synchronization. Risk-averse commanders and units miss fleeting opportunities, which can actually increase the risk of greater casualties. Reasonably estimating and intentionally accepting risk is fundamental to conducting successful operations and essential to the mission command approach. Experienced commanders balance audacity and imagination against risk and uncertainty to strike at a time, at a place, and in a manner unexpected by enemy forces. This is the essence of surprise. Commanders accept risks to create and maintain conditions necessary to seize, retain, and exploit the initiative. A good operational approach considers the balances of risk and uncertainty with friction and chance. Plans and orders should provide the flexibility subordinates need to take initiative when opportunities present themselves or conditions change as a hedge against risk. Plans and orders that have no tolerances for friction or deviation from how tasks might be accomplished are inherently higher risk than those that do.